If the Senate could please come to order. The members please vote to signify the presence this morning. Have all members voted? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 18 senators present this morning. Senator Paul Fisher and Senator Ray are excused from the call of the Senate. Senator Moss is excused but is present.
May we stand for the invocation.
O God, the support of all who love you, and the strength of all who would truly serve you. Truly, we humans whom you have created can be passing strange creatures. We have a way whereby we select from among us some whom we believe to be outstanding, but nonetheless human. We place them in positions of trust and leadership, and then we expect them suddenly to be superhuman, cursing them when they cannot be. So this morning we pray that we who have elected these senators may remember their humanity, may remember that they too may hurt and need healing, may be lonely and need love, may be lost and need guidance. Let us remember that it is their very humanity which truly qualifies them to represent us. We pray too that they, conscious of their human condition, may also remember that humanity is something to live up to, and this is really the hope we place in them. Guide and strengthen them and give them peace. Shalom. Amen.
Senator Gilman?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
An objection, so ordered. Does the Secretary certify as the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 94th legislative day.
Floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 94th legislative day be approved as certified.
Objection, so ordered. You're setting something of a recent record for prayers on the journal, very deservedly so. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Senator Mulcahy?
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to the Senate a group of students from Manicotic. Manicotic is in the Southwest School District in REA in Bristol Bay. The gallery behind me, I'd ask to raise as I call your name. There's Cheryl Alakituk, May Iojack, Katrina Bryan, Leroy Dick, Douglas Gamechuk, Laverna Gloco, Paul Itumaria, and their teacher, Brian Ackley.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, the Senate is visited this morning by representatives of the Family Community Leadership Project, who I believe are in the gallery behind me. Rita Fouth from Sutton, Nancy Rowland of Palmer, Lynn Woods of Sutton, Neva Black from Pena, Pat Silverton of Fairbanks, and Glenn Ray, the Anchorage coordinator. Glenn Ray, the Anchorage. Thank you.
Senator Fakes?
Mr. President, I believe we miss Lynn Woods from the Family Community Leadership from the Mat Valley. Lynn, welcome to the Senate. We're glad you're here with us today.
You have the floor, Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a gentleman that is both international and national lecturer. He's a minister from Kasilof. Very well respected and revered person in our community, Mr. Lindsay Williams.
We welcome you all to the Senate this morning. Are there messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There are no messages from the House?
No messages from the House.
Are there communications?
We have no communications today.
We report to standing committees this morning.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 427, repealing the pooled music copyright law. Senator Joseph and Vice Chairman and Senator Pettyjohn signed DuPass, Senator Ziegler and Senator Elias and signed no recommendation. SB 427 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 539, Community Work as Part of a Criminal Sentence, and recommends be replaced with the committee substitute. Senator Josephson, chairman, and Senator Pettyjohn signed do pass. Senators Ziegler and Eliason signed no recommendation. SB 539 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 520, being amended, criminal use of a computer, and recommends be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, vice chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Pettyjohn, and Ziegler. CS House Bill 520 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend that they be calendared April 12. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 225, creating the Matanuska Valley Moose Range, and recommends the Resources Committee substitute. Senate Bill number 384, Food Banks, and recommends the Hess Committee substitute. Senate Bill number 508, Supplemental Appropriations to Department of Health and Social Services for Payment as Grants to Bethel Social Services Incorporated and Sitka Youth Advocates Incorporated. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 9, Finance Amended, calling for erection of a suitable memorial to honor veterans of all wars involving the United States on the state site presently occupied by Nimbus, and recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute. These do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports, Mr. President.
Are there any special committee reports?
There are no special committee reports.
There is a resolution for introduction.
Senate Joint Resolution number 45 by the Rules Committee relating to the assignment to Alaska of the Rapid Deployment Light Infantry Division.
State Affairs Committee.
That is the only new resolution.
There is a bill for introduction.
Senate Bill number 548 by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to commercial air carriers, establishing the Aviation Safety Commission and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Transportation.
That was the only new bill.
Takes us down to the daily calendar this morning. Secretary, read the first bill on the calendar. Senator Helfrich. Will be at ease. Senate, please come to order. Secretary of the Senate, please proceed.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 225 by Senator Curtula, an act creating the Matanuska Valley Moose Range. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute resources with the majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, chairman, concurring Senators Sturzewski, Paul Fisher, Mulcahy, and Ziegler. The Finance Committee waived referral.
Resources chairperson.
Mr. President, I move the Resources Committee substitute and ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, so ordered. With the secretary read the bill by title.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 225, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act creating the Matanuska Valley Moose Range.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, in the absence of amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 225 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
So ordered. Secretary, read the bill. Third reading.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 225, Resources, an act creating the Matanuska Valley Moose Range.
Before you for debate, you have the floor, Senator Farrington.
Mr. President, there is a map of the Moose Range up, pinned up in front of the page's desk, and it will show exactly where this range is located. It's 138,000 acres, and with the growth and expansion in the Mat Valley, it's considered a necessity by the people who live there. The committee substitute allows Department of Fish and Game to enhance the Moose Range population while allowing for truly multiple use in the areas of forestry management, fishing and hunting and trapping, mineral and coal entry and development, grazing. And the management is by under DNR, but with the three-year management plan that they must, the management plan they must come up with within 3 years, it is in with consultation with Fish and Game. We have worked with this very diligently in committee, with agreements being made through DNR, Department of Fish and Game, the bill sponsors, and people in the area through telecommunications. I urge his passage.
You have the floor, Senator Strzelecki.
I want to, I'm going to support this bill, and I'd like to compliment both the chairman of the committee, various people in the department, and certainly yourself. We received a lot of testimony on this from the people that were very concerned that it was not going to be multiple use, that it will not bring in the forestry management, and they were calling for a state forest as opposed to this approach. But I think that with the way the management plans to be developed, the fact that it specifies specifically forest management, I think it answers all those questions, and I think it's a good bill.
Senator Halstead.
Mr. President, just for the record, in one area that I think we need to make very plain, and I also support the bill, but with regard to the land use regulations, because DNR is going to adopt these regulations, I think it should be very clear that these regulations should not conflict with the seasons and bag limits as set by the Department of Fish and Game. Sometimes when you have other input, you find that although the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Fish and Game allow a season, that season is ineffective because of access or use restrictions from another agency. And I don't think that's the intent of the bill. I think the bill tries very hard to reach that compromise, because in terms of the plan, it requires the concurrence of the Department of Fish and Game on the management plan. But as far as the actual regulations, it requires consultation, not concurrence. If it required concurrence, there might be some problems in other use where Fish and Game was going beyond simply seasons and bag limits in advocacy with regard to mining or conflicting uses. But I think it's important that in the area of seasons and bag limits, methods and means with regard to hunting, that Fish and Game have the absolute control of this area. And I think it's the best compromise we can come up with in that area.
You have the floor, Resource Chairperson.
Mr. President, I think this just brings to mind a point that all of us should be very diligent on. As chairman of each committee, the statutes do say that regulations that come out pertaining to the things that are in your field must go through the committee of reference. And many of us are not asking for those regulations or reviewing them. We need to be very careful about that we do not let regulations slip through that are in contrary to the intent of legislation. And this is one area where we'll be very watchful.
Senator Gelman, you were seeking the floor.
Mr. President, just a quick question. By adopting this bill, then we will have set aside an area that would not be available for state land disposal in that area?
Yes. You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, Mr. President, that's correct. However, we did take from the proposed Moose Range those lands, over 20,000 acres of them, along the road pattern that would make good disposal lands. And those were removed as a compromise from the Moose Range.
Question is called for. Question is, should committee substitute for Senate Bill 225 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays, 2 excused.
The bill has been adopted by the Senate. The next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 384. The Secretary read the bill by title off the committee report.
Senate Bill number 384 by Senators Ferguson, Kelly, Rohde, Vic Fisher, Fakes, and Josephson, an act relating to food banks. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends be replaced with the committee substitute Hess with a zero fiscal note and do pass, signed Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Hofford and Vic Fisher. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends the Hess Committee substitute do pass, signed Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, and Pettyjohn.
There are no amendments. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 384.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 384 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to food banks.
There are no amendments.
There are no amendments.
That was the amendment. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, in the absence of amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for the bill be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Will the Secretary read the bill on third reading?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 384, Hess, an act relating to food banks.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 384 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 18 yeas, 2 excused.
Bill has been adopted by the Senate. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 508. Secretary, read the bill by title, author, and committee report.
Senate Bill number 508 by the Finance Committee, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as grants to Bethel Social Services Incorporated and SIFCA Youth Advocates Incorporated and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass, signed Senator Joseph Chairman, concurring Senators Hofford, Paul Fisher, and Vic Fisher. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, Bakes, Mulcahy, and Josephson.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 508 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Will the Secretary read it by title?
Senate Bill number 508, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as grants to Bethel Social Services Incorporated and Sitka Youth Advocates Incorporated and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Senator Sackett has the floor.
Mr. President, in 1982 we passed the Residential Care Facilities Bill that set the rates for the different residential facilities throughout the state. There were two miscalculations there. One was for Bethel and one was for Sitka. Last year, I was able to pass a supplemental appropriation for Bethel and Senator Lyson reappropriated some funds that he had and took care of the Sitka problem. And until we do change the residential rates, this would bring it up to the correct amount and still leave the rates statewide at the levels of 1982. No one seems to be interested in changing the rates totally. And until that's done, this will take care of everyone equitably under the existing rates. And urges passage.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 508 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 excused.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill 508 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
No objection. Roll call has been adopted as the effective date roll call. Next item on the daily calendar is House Concurrent Resolution 9. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 9, Finance Amended by the Finance Committee, calling for erection of a suitable memorial to honor veterans of all wars involving the United States on the site presently occupied by Nimbus. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute State Affairs with a new fiscal note. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Kelly and Rohde signed due pass. Senators Sturgiluski and Ray signed no recommendation. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends the Senate Committee substitute be adopted with an amendment. Signed Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senator Pettyjohn. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation, should go to Senate Finance, and Senator Josephson signed no recommendation.
Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the State Affairs Committee substitute for HCR 9.
There is objection. Is there a debate? Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I object only to ask a parliamentary question. Change of title on a resolution is not the same covered under the same rule, change the title of the bill. Is that your ruling, sir?
I suspect that they may be. Senator Bakes, would, I understand the State Affairs Chairman is rising. You have the floor, Senator. Do you wish to speak, Senator Fisher?
Mr. President, we were advised in the State Affairs Committee that a Senate concurrent resolution, or a concurrent resolution, is different from a joint resolution.
Yes.
And on a concurrent resolution, the title may be changed.
You have the floor, Senator.
We have a brief at ease, please.
Certainly, we'll have a brief at ease. The Senate, please come to order. The State Affairs Committee version had been poised at that time under debate. Senator Gilman asked the question of title. Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I objected, and I'll remove my objection based on the explanation that was given, that a concurrent resolution did not have the same effect as a joint resolution, that the joint resolution is essentially the same as a bill. And therefore, under Rule 41B, I think it is, we would not be violating that section. And on that basis, I'll remove my objection.
You have the floor, Senator Halpern.
Mr. President, I would maintain my objection to point out the difference in the two versions. The State Affairs version basically says that one of the appropriate sites for a veterans memorial may be the site currently occupied by the sculpture Nimbus. The finance version, the House finance version, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that the sculpture Nimbus should be removed from the grounds of the state court and office building in Juneau and be replaced with a suitable memorial honoring military personnel, and goes on. The version that came over takes a solid position, while the State Affairs version says we should study it. I think we've had resolutions and bills on the subject of that particular piece of art every year since I've been here, at least every legislature since I've been here. And I think a veterans memorial would be far more appropriate for that location.
State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. President, I feel about this as I do about the orcas. It just goes on and on forever. And I personally don't really care too much, but it's a question of how you want to do it. Do you want to sort of by fiat say get rid of Nimbus and so on after after there's been a deliberate process that provided for putting it there and so on? I'm not enamored of that sculpture, if you can call it that, any more than any other person here. We held some hearings on it, and we had people just screaming at each other. We told them to go off in the room, work something out. What they worked out was essentially the approach set forth in the State Affairs Resolution, the version. They will go. The artists and the vets and everybody will work together. The Juneau Arts Council agreed to the State Arts Council. I think that we will have a peaceful resolution instead of sort of bowling over those who feel that politicians shouldn't interfere with the arts or that these things shouldn't be done by fiat. I simply think it's a more appropriate way of doing it. Let the people most concerned get involved in the process, decide what site would be appropriate and where to put Nimbus. They, in fact, have already tentatively decided on a place to put Nimbus, and I think this would be a real, real good approach if we follow the State Affairs Resolution. Otherwise, we'll just have more conflict in Juneau.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I would point out that, because I carry Senator Ray's proxy today, that the Senate Judiciary Committee letter of intent, which was produced after the State Affairs Committee version was drafted, suggested that the committee appointed to make recommendations, this is the words of the committee, to the legislature on the relocation of the sculpture Nimbus, consider the Alaska State Museum courtyard in Juneau as a possible site for the relocation of the sculpture Nimbus. Signed, Bill Ray. He is the senator from Juneau. Mr. President, it might be appropriate if the State Affairs Committee version is adopted to also adopt, as the Senate, the Judiciary Committee letter of intent to emphasize that we are looking to consideration by the committee of placing Nimbus at the Alaska State Museum courtyard.
Yes, before adoption of the final bill, we should place that letter of intent. Is there further debate on the question of adoption of State Affairs Committee substitute? Does anyone wish the floor? Senator, you have
I object to the State Affairs Committee substitute. The letter of intent that came out of Judiciary, I think, is a good one, and that could apply to the original bill that came over from the House also, that with the replacement of Nimbus by a veterans memorial statue there, you could still have the Nimbus down at the museum where it should be.
Yeah, the floor, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Although I had an uninhabited island in mind, I think that I certainly could support the letter of intent if the original version were adopted.
We'll be at ease. Please come back to order. The question is, before us, shall the State Affairs version be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 5 yeas, 13 nays, and 2 excused.
That motion failed. Are there subsequent motions? Are there subsequent amendments?
I think I have amendment number 1.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Parliamentary inquiry. Is the matter before us then CSHCR 9 finance amended?
Matter before us would be the House bill as it came over to us.
There is an amendment number 1, I believe, on the original House bill. Page 2, line 4, delete 1984 and insert 1985. That's to State Affairs? Okay.
Excuse us.
There are no amendments.
You have the floor, Senator.
I would like to offer a couple of amendments. There were items that were included in the State Affairs substitute. On page 1, line 25, after time of war, insert or active conflict. And ask unanimous consent. That would include Korean conflict, Vietnam vets, and so on. Ask unanimous consent.
We're doing it from the floor, but if there isn't objection, it's adopted.
Mr. President?
You have floor, Senator.
On line... page 2, line 1, toward the end of a line after the comma, I'd like to move the insertion of a member of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, comma, a member of the Southeast Alaska Visual Artists Association, comma, and ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection. Posted from the floor, not in writing. It's adopted. Further amendments? There's a letter of intent.
Yes.
You have the floor, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Judiciary Committee letter of intent.
There's no objection. Letter of intent is adopted. Secretary, Senate, have those two amendments in detail that were posed from the floor.
I don't have the last one in detail.
Please read it again so there is no confusion.
Mr. President, on line, page 2, line 1, after the second comma at the end of the line, insert a member of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, comma, a member of the Southeast Alaska Visual Artists Association, comma.
Thank you.
That amendment was adopted. It's a very unusual way of doing amendments. It was a first, I think. You have the floor.
Unusual action to reject a Senate State Affairs substitute.
The bill is before us. You ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 9, amended, shall it be adopted by the Senate and we proceed to vote? All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 3 nays, and 2 excused.
HCR 9 has been adopted as amended. There are citations this morning.
Citation honoring National Consumers Week by Representatives Duncan and McBride. Honoring Jenny's Law by Representatives Gall, Duncan, and McBride, Senators Ferguson and Eliason. Honoring Kidaro Inamura by Representative Flood and all of their members of the House and Senator Kutula. Honoring Thinkatida and Simpson Celebration 84 by Representatives Gall, M.M. Miller, Duncan, Davis, Jarrah, Wente, McBride, Baska, Copeland, and Ward, Grusendorf, Herman, and Senators Ray, Ziegler, Eliason, Ferguson, and Sackett.
To the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd ask unanimous consent to have my name added to the Unamara and the Thinkatida citations.
Wish to move the citation calendar, Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent for approval of the citation calendar as read.
Objection, so ordered. Items under unfinished business. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the 5-day rule be waived with respect to Senate Joint Resolution 45, which deals with the assignment to Alaska of a rapid deployment infantry division. We're going to give a rapid deployment today.
There's no objection. The floor, Finance Chairman.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee referral be waived on House Bill 535 relating to purchase of group life insurance by former state employees.
No objection. So ordered. Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I'd like to serve notice of my reconsideration of my vote on House Concurrent Resolution Number 9. Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that that reconsideration be taken up Tuesday. Mr. President, Senator Ray was not here today. I think it's only fair that he be here at the time that any topic concerns his community to discuss it with us. And I would ask unanimous consent to bring it up Tuesday. Pardon?
Yes, you're correct. Strategically, parliamentary, you give the reconsideration and you make the motion tomorrow, Senator Gilman, to hold it.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir. Your notice of reconsideration is accepted, and tomorrow it'll come up under the rules, and you just hold it over till Tuesday. I know it'll be accommodated. Excuse me,
Senator. I hope so, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
There will be. I'm sure Senator Rohde will place that motion for you. You have the floor, Senator.
Asking unanimous consent, I'll be excused from the call of the Senate tomorrow on official state business.
Without objection. Senator Kelly.
Asking unanimous consent, I'd be excused from the call of the Senate tomorrow on constituent business.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate tomorrow on state business involving the school foundation study meeting in Anchorage and a meeting of the HESS committee in Anchorage.
Yes, I know you're a member. There's no objection. Are there announcements of committee meetings this morning? Committee meetings. Finance Chairman.
Mr. President, Monday morning at 8:30, Finance Committee will meet, taking up fish and game budget to close out.
Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, at 3 o'clock on Friday in the Belts Room, we'll be continuing markup on the Alaska Power Authority bills and also House Bill 680, an act relating to the recovery and production of oil and gas, oil and natural gas.
Are there items? You have the floor, Chairman.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in Belts Room. We're taking up Senate Bill 494, an act relating to the sale of timeshare programs for use, occupancy, or possession of residential property, and amending the Real Estate Commission's authority to adopt regulations. Senate Bill 532, an act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loans association. Senate Bill 433, an act relating to registration of heavy vehicles. And, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce referral of Senate Bill 360 be waived.
No objection. This goes to judiciary. I believe there's a record of having assigned it to judiciary. If not, I do so. You have the floor, State Affairs Chairperson.
Mr. President, State Affairs meets at 3 o'clock today in Butrovich. Senate Bill 110, Public Employees, PRPA, SB 527, Motor Vehicle Tax Exemption and Senior Property Tax Exemption.
You have the floor, Rules Chairperson.
May we have it at ease, sir?
We'll be at ease. Senator Bennett?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can we revert to committee announcements? On Monday,
yes, sir.
On Monday morning, instead of 8:30, let's make it 9:30, since the session is not going to start till 11. Also, I have a special announcement. Talked with the manager of the Alaska Railroad, and he asked me to pass on that, and I'll condense it down just a little bit. But nonetheless, there will be a special train headed up for Fairbanks from Anchorage for the Pope's visit. And the round-trip fare will be $75. They're talking about 19 coach cars, and there'll be a diner on board, and it'll take up to about 600 passengers. Tickets will be available starting on about the 18th of April at the train stations, Fairbanks and Anchorage. Anyone has anything specific, let me know, and I'll figure it out for you.
You have the floor, Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, an announcement that the Fishery Subcommittee under Resources will be having a work session at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Belts Room, on House Bill 376.
Thank you. Items under special orders this morning. You have the floor, Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I would request the privilege of special orders to address a response from corrections.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was rather astounded at the response from the correction system to the information that they purchased some 1,300 pounds of king crab over last year and a number of other foods. In response to my February inquiry, they'd stated that they discovered 60 pounds of king crab at the Third Avenue Institution and were trying to trade it for lower-cost food. 6 weeks later, after I'd formed the assistant commissioner of my preliminary findings, an Aegis message finally went out saying, stop buying king crab. The deputy commissioner then stated to the Associated Press that he did not control the food orders through 1983, and there was no laws or regulations banning such purchases. I think it's obvious that the law, of course, that was violated is the law of common sense. In a flippant response to me yesterday, I was congratulated for discovering a profound miscarriage of calories and invited to break bread at one of the institutions, crab-free. Additional insight into the attitude of corrections can be found in an Anchorage Times article that was printed last night, where staff at one of the institutions basically stated that when dealing with murderers, rapists, and robbers, you need excellent food to avoid riots. I wonder who's running our institutions. If that's the way we're trying to avoid problems in our institutions, I think we're in a real crisis. Programs are short-funded, we're understaffed in correctional institutions, we're certainly underbuilt in corrections. I think it's wrong. I think their action is wrong. I think their response is wrong. I think the issue is a serious issue, particularly when school districts all over the state are trying to round up money to maintain lunch programs, and we're running that kind of a operation in corrections, and it's not even taken seriously. Thank you.
Yes, I'd move and ask, request a privilege of the floor under special orders to talk about a financial matter affecting the state.
You have the floor, Senator.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. President. The U.S. House of Representatives just passed, pretty overwhelmingly, 318-97, the Industrial Development Bond Bill that's been back there. And it's limited to $150 per capita per year. The U.S. Senate has a bill before it that is perhaps a little less stringent, but there seems to be quite a bit of action momentum on the bill. This bill that passed the House would allow Alaska to use IDBs only to the tune of $67 million. And it's kind of interesting, in our biggest year, which was fiscal or calendar year 83, we had $447 per capita. So it's very substantial. Just to give you a little example of the amount we've been using through ADA. Fiscal year 82 was $169 million. Fiscal year 83, $135 million. Fiscal year 84, just to date, is $160 million. of some concern, the munis fall under the cap. Cities of Valdez, Seward, Sandpoint, for example. It's a statewide cap, and there's some consideration or concern that it would also include for certain of the things that the Alaska Power Authority does. The bill does have a retroactive clause to January 1st, 1984, so we're well in with projects underway using up that limited amount if the House bill does pass. I think of a major change, it would ban totally the use of IDBs for acquisition of existing property. Effect, of course, would limit it then just to new construction. And as I stated, it would cut the aid of volume probably by two-thirds on these kinds of things. The allocation of the cap between the state and the municipalities, of course, is going to get into, I think, a major problem. But I think it's something we should watch, because as I've heard that there is quite a bit of momentum on it. There will probably be curbs come out, but this one is really pretty devastating. And, of course, the program's basically shut down now because of the retroactive feature to January of this year.
Thank you. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, request the privilege of the floor to speak on the same topic briefly.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I appreciate Senator Sturzelewski's remarks. And just a bit of added emphasis, when we look at my constituency, Anchorage, and you look at all the new commercial buildings that have gone up in the past several years in the town, with the exception of approximately four or five, every single one of those has been financed through ADA and have had a significant economic impact, a positive impact on my community. It's a very important program. I'm very unhappy with what Congress is doing. I'm hoping that we'll see a turnaround, but as Senator Sturzelewski pointed out, I think conventional wisdom is that there will be significant restrictions on industrial development bonds. I think it's appropriate for this body to consider precisely what will be the future of ADA. I would respectfully submit that perhaps we ought to consider some changes and possibly some privatization of that, because it is an effective commercial lending vehicle without any state subsidy. And I think there are ways that we can judiciously realign it to allow the inflow of capital to Alaska that will continue to provide jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. Thank you.
Senator Bennett.
If I might address the body on the same subject.
There's no objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Just very briefly, I think it's very cogent that we talk about bonding a little bit. There's some of the things that we're going to have to keep in mind. I have no problem with going down to minimal to no bonding. I think that we should be looking at no bonding. I find it almost ludicrous to support the permanent fund in one hand, to have monies for future generations, when in fact by other methods we're leaving them a legacy of bonded indebtedness. You know, one cancels out the other. When the oil is gone, if it is, in 20 to 30 years, you're going to have a permanent fund on one hand, you're going to have a very significant bonded indebtedness on the other. I think that minimum bonding, if any, during this time of high revenues would be much more appropriate, Mr. President.
Thank you. There's no objection. I'd like to revert to introduction of guests. A person that may have been introduced this year, but who is the acting head of the legal services, Mr. Hickerson. I'd like to introduce him. Gosen?
Mr. President.
Nine is sort of a request. Yeah. Thank you. Excuse me.
Mr. President, in view of the schedules of senators, I am moving and asking unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 9 o'clock a.m. tomorrow morning, April 13th.
Adjourn until 9 a.m.